already.
So.
Okay. We are very pleased to have two distinguished scholars from who have done work around the interdisciplinarity within research, especially, and who will give us a keynote lecture here at the beginning of today. Michiru Nakachu from the University of Helsinki, you may present shortly yourself. And then also Miles McLeod.
That's right. Yep, you got it right.
Originally from Australia, but
yep.
In University of Twente, Netherlands at the moment. And he happened to be in Estonia.
That's
in
right, yeah.
Sorry. And then coming here. So we wanted to have him also over here on presenting this day. So you will have a keynote lecture here then overall on the interdisciplinarity. Then me and Nico will give a short presentation on the history that we have been doing, work around the interdisciplinarity here at the faculty. And then we will have a short break and organize the rest of the day for the workshops, and Miles and Michiru will be here with us throughout the whole day. Very nice.
Thanks.
So,
thanks for the invitation.
And the floor is yours.
Thank you. So, So I'm Michiru Nagatsu. I just came from Helsinki. I'm originally from Japan. And Miles and I have been working together since 2014.
Something like
15.
That. 13, yeah.
So when we were postdoc, we started to work on this topic and empirically study interdisciplinary research happening in a Viikki campus in Helsinki specifically. And so today's topic is interdisciplinarity, interdisciplinary research, and we will try to be very broad and general, just to give a introduction to the topic, but there's a lot of theoretical and empirical stuff behind it, and we try not to go into too much kind of disciplinary stuff discussed there, but that's the context. So we are philosophers of science. We study interdisciplinary research practices, as I said. It's also a bit kind of intradisciplinary because I come from philosophy of science, looking at social sciences, and Miles comes from philosophy of mostly biological sciences. So we were looking at different sciences, and then we started to say, hey, maybe we can look at the environmental sciences together. Yeah. And this kind of project was born. So we're interested in strategies of interdisciplinary research, what works, what doesn't work, why. And so we are not like here to advocate interdisciplinarity as a kind of evangelical interdisciplinary promoters. So we come from this type of background with studying scientific practices and trying to understand first and also try to help scientists make a good science. So that's the kind of background.
Yeah, that's important because you get a lot of promotional talks about interdisciplinarity. You probably sat through through some of them, but that's not where we're coming from. So we see a lot of interdisciplinarity not working. We see some of it working, and we're trying to figure out what the lessons are from the cases that do work and don't work. Yeah.
By the way, we try to be brief, so I try to finish in half an hour max and then have some Q&A session for 10-15 minutes if it works. And by the way, thank you for coming. I heard that there's some kind of competing events, and I can assume that you guys are, you know, particularly motivated to learn from interdisciplinarity because you chose this station. Yeah. It's very nice. So background motivation. So interdisciplinarity can be very rewarding, productive, nice. So that's what everyone says. But there's a lot of challenges, difficulties and frustrations. So time consuming, sometimes not effective. You know, you have something else to do. So that's what economists call opportunity cost. So you could have been doing something else, more disciplinary work. And how do we balance this benefit and cost? It can result in a kind of not so robust research. And it's important to understand, you know, what's underlying all these difficulties and challenges. So today's goal is asking our vessels certain questions and thinking through those issues which we think are relevant to robust and productive relationships. So relationships in interdisciplinary research. And we rely on some of our studies and some of the studies that other people have done on this topic. So the second part is a group discussion after Mikko and Sami's talk about contextualizing this topic in the sports science health faculty context. And then we have a group discussion. So before that, we talk about background concepts of ID, some empirical observations from existing studies, and trying to explain, give explanation why some things fail and something succeeds. So that's the lecture part. And so what should count as interdisciplinary research? So we have to understand that what we mean by interdisciplinary research and any intuitions. So here's a kind of basic categories. Interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, transdisciplinary. Do you have any ideas, any volunteers? What are the differences? So, since you are closer to me.
No idea.
Any ideas? No?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. What about interdisciplinary?
I believe it's more like a thematical approach.
Okay.
Without any specific.
I see. What about transdisciplinary?
May I interrupt you?
Sure.
Are these concepts clear for you in Finnish? Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe we should translate that shortly here. Okay, it might be shed light on. Multidisciplinary, monitieteisyys, interdisciplinarity, tieteiden välisyys ja transdisciplinary, poikkitieteisyys tai tieteisyys. Tällaisia termejä. You may have heard these kind of concepts in Finnish.
Hmm.
Might make it easier.
Okay.
Yeah. So it kind of corresponds to English, I think, terminology more or less. And I have never heard about the Finnish translation of transdisciplinarity, so it's interesting. So this is the usual understanding. So the interdisciplinarity is supposed to be some kind of integrative research, you know, coming from different disciplines. And there's a synthesis, trying to get some new methodology out of it. And the multidisciplinarity has a bit of a second rank status in relation to interdisciplinary research. So it's just a typology and a definition, but already some ideas that which type of interdisciplinary research is better. And I guess in this usual understanding, multi is just putting different disciplines together to address common problems and without assuming that something integrative or synthesis happening as a result. So that's a main distinction. And transdisciplinarity is sometimes also associated with integrative knowledge or like creating a completely new stuff. I mean, that's the, I think, intuition behind the trans. But then there's also specific meaning that there's a knowledge and interest from extra academic partners. So when you involve the Ministry of Health or there's some environmental activists in your research, then it becomes transdisciplinary because you have something outside academia. Or you work with the Sami people, and these people participate in knowledge production, and that's type of transdisciplinary research. So that's just a terminological thing. That's when you don't have to be afraid of anything because it's very simple. People, when they use these words, they usually mean these things. And that's just the starting point.
Is that clear to everybody, these distinctions? Yeah, and these are the distinctions funders use, right? So they become kind of canonical. So funders will use this language. People who talk about interdisciplinarity will use this language. but out there in general academia, people often don't make distinctions between multidisciplinarity and interdisciplinarity. It's just the same thing. But funders do make these distinctions. Yeah.
So when you read the Finnish Research Council's funding calls, you have to like what they mean by those things that matters. Then there's, of course, a lot of positive motivations for doing... Yes, please. Interesting question. So the thing is that these canonical concepts or distinctions come from a very broad understanding. But once you start to look at the actual practices of research, there's of course a lot of different cases. And I think Miles, do you
have it gets very fuzzy very quickly, right? So we maintain these distinctions. The funders maintain these distinctions. But the language is mostly metaphorical. So you get this metaphorical understanding of interdisciplinarity as methodological synthesis. And you say, well, what if two fields are kind of coupling some models together? So some climate change models are being coupled to some precipitation models to predict how climate change will affect skiing, right? From two different fields, hydrologists and climate change scientists, they're just sticking their models together. It's not really a methodological synthesis, right? But at the same time, you're integrating something. So is it really... So where does that fall? And when you look at the kinds of methodological practices people use, they're usually falling like that, right? They're just combinations. People have found a way to coordinate existing methodologies. And then these kinds of distinctions become a bit confusing because in one sense, it's not really a strong form of methodological synthesis in which you're producing something new. But at the same time, there are these, because these are coming from funders and policy people, they tend not to be grounded too much in the actual research practice. So they will have these ambitions about what they think should come out, this kind of methodological novelty, and that will be kind of divorced from what's actually going on. So, I mean, Mitchell has kind of made the point, well, don't put too much faith in what these can tell you. But they are kind of, how people are being guided. It's how the funders and policy people are often being guided when they think about this. But your other question about what if I integrate it into my own field, that's actually a very good question because that, to me, sounds quite innovative and it sounds like you are producing something novel within your own domain. Unfortunately, the funders tend to think that interdisciplinarity should be collaborative and they don't fund projects where somebody comes along and says, but I want to do this myself. So then you get another kind of disjunction. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the question.
Mikko, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, just simplify our discussion when we were planning this session, we were talking about this. And when we talk about the this concept of shim of interdisciplinarity, we kind of like, we want to simplify the discussions. We're talking about the level of integration. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about multidisciplinary, the integration is quite narrow in the sense.
Sure, yeah.
When we're going towards transdisciplinarity, integration is very strong.
So, but even this notion of integration is a metaphor, right? So what does it mean that the data gets integrated? Or what does it mean that theory gets integrated? So you have to sort of give a concrete description in practical terms, like how to operate in research. So that's, I think, it's a guiding metaphor. So we have some intuition, but then we have to have a more concrete understanding of what we do. Yes.
I was still maybe wondering at this beginning of this session that maybe we could come up with some of the examples of what's the distinction between whatever level of something. But I was thinking for this kind of an example that we, for example, in the faculty we have this kind of 3-5 credit courses that are developed together with all the disciplines in the faculty offered for all the first year students and organized in practice so that we basically have same mutual understanding of these kind of key phenomena that, for example, the low levels of population physical activity is a side of one course. But then we have people coming from different disciplinary backgrounds talking on that same phenomena from the biological science point of view, from educational science point of view, societal science point of view. So that, in my mind, is multidisciplinary way of doing that. The interdisciplinary would be then that we somehow work it further together in a way how we could integrate different, you know, science background perspective into this, you know, and maybe it comes to the Nikos, you know, integration.
Yes. So
that's something how I do. Do you have some other examples on?
Well, so I would say at a minimum, if you want to make that distinction between that raw kind of multidisciplinarity where you just kind of divide a problem into, you know, discrete units that different people can solve, and maybe they come together and discuss, and some kind of methodological coordination at a minimum. So coordination is quite a weak phrase, right? You're not demanding too much. But there has to be some interaction at the methodological level. There has to be some exchange of information, some coordination of information between the two groups. And that might be enough to say, okay, that's something that might be genuinely interdisciplinary as opposed to this, let's just divide things up and go our separate ways kind of strategy. Yeah. Maybe that helps. That's just a starting point. Yeah.
So just, this. I won't read all these benefits, but people are motivated, and you can refer to this 1997 Nisanis paper titled 10 Cheers for Interdisciplinarity. So he also lists 10 good things that come out from interdisciplinarity. So it's this kind of excitement about interdisciplinarity has been around more than 20 years. And so there are some of the examples. You can develop yourself. And so there's a lot of temptations to go for it. And then this is interdisciplinary research according to very standard view. Like first, you start from this real world. We have problems. So the famous saying goes, like, the universities have departments and the world has problems. So the idea is that they don't match. So we have to do something in academia. So that's a sort of idea, starting from real world problems. And then this seems to require integration of knowledge and the collaboration of researchers, and then these things will make some solution to the real world. So that's a sort of common ideas. And we don't necessarily disagree, but there has to be a more kind of thinking about this scheme. So first of all, we can say that, well, actually non-integrative multidisciplinary research has its own some kind of benefits. So it's not like there's a hierarchy of integration, and the higher the integration, the better. But you need to contextualize, like, what's our goal? Maybe for education perspectives, maybe if the topic is obesity, then there's a sociological perspective to obesity, and then the health perspective, and you have multidimensional understanding of a particular phenomenon, which is already, you know, good, like, achieve some purposes in that context. So we can contextualize or relativize what do we want from inter or cross-disciplinary studies. And there's some studies showing, like, actually multidisciplinary research has its own affordances. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So, and then also a lot of this ID work comes through information input. So when you have a certain model and then your variable, let's say some forest tree growth component is too idealistic with some biomass, then you invite a tree biologist and then ask, like, can you make this part more realistic? So you just add this biological part, and then your economic model gets more realistic. So in this way, you can have some information input, and then you might say integration is still low, but then it just makes this economic model better. And maybe that's, if that's what you want, you can say that this is a success case of integration. Also, ID work, as Miles slightly alluded to, it can be non-collaborative. So some people, there's legendary, you know, genius scientists who were polymaths and they were doing everything alone. And this kind of interdisciplinarity happening in one person's head is also a form of interdisciplinarity. And also, idea work can be very theoretical. When you think about the history of systems theory or game theory, how this kind of game theory as a mathematical theory moved to economics and political science, and then biologists picked it up and then appropriated. And there's this kind of very theoretical interdisciplinary work, and it's slightly different from what we have in mind in this framework, right? So it doesn't necessarily come from these real-world problems, but some biologists thought that, hey, I can use this game theory in my evolution, so I can turn it into evolutionary version, this type of knowledge.
Yeah, that's important. So it's something worth thinking about within the faculty, right? So, I mean, the way the funders set things up, it always has to be very problem-driven, and they all fund interdisciplinary research that's very problem-driven. But a lot of the interactions between various groups actually requires theoretical work to work out. You might be trying to solve some of multi-scale issues because the different fields work at different scales. So that requires theoretical work, but nobody's kind of funding that. But in fact, to get things to work well, you have to kind of get people to do that. So it's worth keeping that in mind. It shouldn't just be solely problem driven.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we go to part two, where we briefly, you know, have a general overview of some of the findings. And to summarize this part, is to say evidence is mixed. So all the motivations are nice things, but there's no some kind of conclusive evidence that shows, yes, we should do interdisciplinary research no matter what. So it's quite mixed. We need to have a lot of interpretative work to do, I mean, in order to understand what this evidence, you know, suggests to us. So in many cases, ideas carried out on without any fuss. So that's a kind of a fact about science. So if you go to engineering department, you know, people from different fields just work together to build some machine. Okay, I'll do this part. I'll do statistics. I'll do this, you know, work. And so it's, for some scientists, it's everyday life. Why do you make a big thing out of interdisciplinarity? So for these people, it's a normal everyday operation. But it's a very specific case. Mechanical engineers, as Miles was mentioning. And so we are talking about different types of interdisciplinary research. Some of them are already like everyday business as usual, and some of the interdisciplinary research we talk about as a novel form of research practices. And so these are very general observations. So the greater the degree of interdisciplinarity, the lower the probability of being funded. So that's, of course, if you look at the interdisciplinary research funding, this doesn't apply. But if you have a kind of general overview, it seems to be the tendency. And balance and disparity have a negative effect on society. So I guess this is scientometric studies that analyze the big data from published articles and see the relation between different disciplines involved. So the idea was that diversity among disciplines, so when disciplines are all over the place with a very far relationship to each other, then it affects citation negatively, which means that it's less likely to get cited compared to the work that has more tightly knit disciplines working together. So
people seem to make those judgments, right? They look at the papers and they see the disciplines and they seem to make these judgments about whether these disciplines should be working together or can work together. Rightly or wrongly, they make those kinds of judgments, yeah.
And also this ID papers are retracted more often, so it suggests a bit kind of, okay, is this kind of methodologically solid? Why is it retracted? And there's also the researchers' own perceptions is that ID research is less reliable or interesting. And so there are some studies of this kind. And also these are qualitative studies results. Many studies suggest that collaborative projects often fail to produce genuinely interdisciplinary integrative results. So the Salmera and others, Miles, is part of that. So you could maybe briefly mention that if you want. Or novel methodological synthesis or innovation seems rare, so multidisciplinarity seems more norm. And grants often don't provide any meaningful integrative strategy. So, for example, Academy of Finland or Finnish Research Council has this thing called the Strategic Research Council funding. But when they do this call, they say that you have to involve 3 or 4 disciplines and you have to have stakeholders in the applications, and then researchers try to satisfy those conditions. But that scheme doesn't have some kind of a mechanism to facilitate successful interdisciplinarity. So it's very coarse-grained conditions, right? You have to have humanities in, or you have to have 3 universities, or you have to have a Baltic States university in. So those are the typical conditions, and it's very hard to translate that into actual functional interdisciplinary.
Yeah, well, the plans are often very schematic. So people get funded on the basis of very schematic interdisciplinarity plans. So, you know, not much more than a flowchart showing who's connected to who or whatever and a few promises. But in practice, it does. That's not what, you know, nothing really comes out of that. Because, I mean, our point is, as we'll go into later, it just hasn't been pre-thought. And so when they've come up to actually have to deal with the problem of integration, it's been much easier to just say, yeah, let's just do what we normally would have done in this context. So the funders aren't very good at, you know, I mean, they can't be in some sense, but they could demand more in terms of planning, at least to get an indication.
So regarding Strategic Research Council funding, it's 6 years, I think it's 3+3. And I was just talking to my colleague who is entering into the second phase, or the fourth year. And he was just telling me that, you know, after 3 years, finally, I know what the other people mean. So he was very frustrated at the beginning, and now we can do some science together. That's very maybe. So in that sense, we should acknowledge that the academy has this kind of idea that okay, you need time, so why don't we set it as 3+3? Yeah. Although the funding budget goes down to the second half. So. Also, this has a kind of a impact on natural and social sciences differently, because social scientists and humanities are a bit treated differently in this type of dynamics. And so lack of clear methodological structure. So this is a cause of why. So this is kind of our first diagnosis, that maybe this type of lack of structure, kind of unconstrained space, is one cause of why ID relationship often turn out to be unproductive and frustrating. So now we want to go deeper into this, you know, diagnostic mode. And so the third one, this weak or no methodological framework part, is most of the stuff we write about, but that part is too much.
I just mentioned it already.
Yeah, you mentioned. Yeah. So
we can talk about that a bit in the first workshop if you're part of the methodological.
Yeah. Workshop. So we will quickly go through the first and second point. So the lack of alignment. So the so sometimes you ask to do something that you are not good at. So I'm a philosopher. People think that I can do ethics. In fact, I'm a philosopher of science working on methodology. So hey, Michiru, you're a philosopher. So why don't you talk about some ethical issues? And then sometimes it happens because people from outside your field actually don't know what you do. So you get invited for wrong reason. And then if you say, hey, why not? But then it's not really fulfilling because you are supposed to do something that you're not good at. That happens. And competency issues, motivation issues, and you feel like, you know, why don't people take my expertise in methodology seriously? why do they think that all philosophers can do is ethics? It's kind of a strange thing, but it happens all the time.
But we're desperate enough to take up any offer like that.
Yeah, I say yes. Research goals. So you might have different goals than that ID project. So you might want to promote the advance in your career. in your disciplines. And so these planned tasks, that do they advance your disciplinary agenda? Maybe you might want to make some kind of theoretical breakthrough, but it takes you your time away from that kind of agendas. Or, you know, all these things, like you might fine-tune your methodology, but then if you have to deal with a different data set with the same method, then it's just a sort of a not so exciting for you. This can happen. Motivation can become an issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good case of that, is which happens quite often when engineers interact with, say, business scientists. Business scientists often get asked to just calculate customer service data because the engineers want to know how to perfect their model. And that's kind of insulting often to the business scientists who think, actually, we're at the cutting edge of understanding consumer behavior, and I'm just asked to collect, like, consumer feedback. Often, sometimes they take those jobs, sometimes they're not, but ultimately it shows the engineers really don't understand what the business science does, and it, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to functional relationships. Yeah.
And then that is leading to the second problem of balance and fairness. So they, how resources are allocated, workload is distributed, recognition is distributed. So this is a kind of a real issue. So when engineers ask social scientists to do some service work, but then the reverse won't happen, right? You don't ask engineers to do the service work for humanity projects. So in this case, you know, this kind of client service provider situation exists based on your disciplinary relations, and that might be a problem in terms of fairness. So also the leader tends to set the overall framework, and then that might also affect the overall fairness of the outcomes. So it's the same thing. So you have different status related to your own disciplines. And I have read the biologists saying, like, we have to collaborate with economists because they have privileged access to policy. So policymakers listen to economists, so we have to collaborate with economists in order to increase our societal impact. So that was the reason. And then that kind of structure is not like, you know, you cannot control
everything. Yeah, that's a good example. So in that case, so ecologists might decide, okay, we have to collaborate with economists. And there's a status problem there, right? Because the economists will inevitably then kind of set the shots, and the ecologists might not necessarily agree with a lot of how the economists are doing their analysis, right? But they're kind of stuck with it, so they're kind of forced into this situation. Yeah.
So the setting agenda and this can create tensions. So this the example I already mentioned. So skip. So just to conclude this session very quickly. So the importance of evaluating and improving an interdisciplinary engagement. So we have some kind of framework of questions and issues you can take into account when you want to develop your own interdisciplinary consortium or projects or some ID work, just to make sure that the project's chance of being productive, ensuring your own motivations are aligned with the project. And these are the things that you might want to spend time on before saying yes to something, or just, you know, quickly making a funding applications. And usually you spend a lot of time creating a beautiful diagrams of how work packages are related. And I think I have the best work package relation image, but fortunately or not, I didn't get funded, so I didn't have to implement that beautiful thing. Also, you have to make sure that your motivations are aligned with the project. You know, if it's like 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, can I actually, you know, what's my motivations to work with these people? Is there something that is fulfilling, like my own scientific or practical motivation? So that's important kind of thinking point. And then the more to the point, the importance of research design. So if you don't have a very good framework for how that research will operate, there will be consequences. So that's kind of important. Another anecdote from my own university, I was invited to one profiling action, interdisciplinary profiling action institute, and to give a talk about interdisciplinary engagement. And I asked them, so when did you start this institute, or what's the funding project period? And then they said, this is the last year. So I'm like, you should have invited me the first year, not the last year. So it happens all the time. Because if that happens, then of course, if you don't put in enough energy or methodological energy up front, then what happens later on becomes really like, okay, I have to save time, I have to save energy, and then things become less genuine. I guess that's this avoiding deep engagement. Some researchers say that the most important thing is to go to sauna together. We don't want to reduce these methodological challenges into just human relations, but that's definitely part of it. I guess you have to create some kind of safe space to challenge each other's assumptions, because otherwise you just have to be polite, and then if you're just polite, then you don't make something novel. So that's another idea. And then, so you have to translate all these ideas into concrete methods or data, the research designs, and how do we coordinate all these things? It's quite a, a challenging topic. But this is kind of, your funders won't do this for you, so you have to somehow do this work. And that's all. So thank you. So we have this group discussion plan. So we don't have enough people to make three groups, as I understand. So we will do. Maybe who want to go to Group A research? Okay, and who want to go to early career thing? Oh, great! So I have a lot of stuff. And the B will be formed or not formed? B Group B.
it's a popularity contest, eh?
Group of two. Yeah. So. So these are some references of to our studies and some broad ideas. There's a lot of discussions about this, and I was just talking with Miles about this future of interdisciplinary, actually research on interdisciplinarity, because we, around 2018-19, we said that, well, it's also some kind of academic fashion. Maybe this comes and goes. But then we were just saying, like, actually, interdisciplinarity is here to stay. It's kind of people keep talking about this. And no one has found the silver bullet.
Changes form a bit. There's a lot more discussion about transdisciplinarity today, or challenge-based learning, or, you know. But it's still essentially the same problem. It goes round and round. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Hopefully we have positive contribution to that development with our studies. But so this is our broad overview of the topic, and I'm looking forward to having more specific discussions on research career or research design with you. So any questions? We have still time for questions.
Yeah, so you can take a few comments, questions. You'll be quite flexible.
Yes, sure.
Interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary founders, or we are here now in faculty of sport and health sciences. So if we all collaborate together, so this is multidisciplinary, or should it be like with the economists, or like how? What's the difference?
It's a good question.
Between the disciplines?
I think there's a two ways of understanding it, because one way is to understand it as a institutionally, like in terms of faculty or disciplines unit. But the other way is to look at the more substantial methods or orientations. So you might belong to the same business school, but one is a critical theorist who has a background in Foucault and those stuff, and the other is a, I don't know,
quantitative
typical,
yeah.
And they belong to the same unit, but they have a very different epistemological assumptions and worldviews. And that I would call it interdisciplinary interaction between these researchers. So I think the second one is more substantial, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting question with relation to our faculty in that sense that, you know, as our faculty, told you that we have all the disciplines in a way within sport and health sciences, from biology to social sciences. Basically, what you said, we cooperate. I would say that we are doing interdisciplinary work around these topics that we have here. But at the same time, for some of the funding schemes, we are not fulfilling it. Institute in us that, you know, we come from the same faculty, from the same university. How can you be? You know, you're not consortium because you're from the same university.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good point. And that raises another question. So we focus mainly in our research on the cognitive aspects of interdisciplinarity, but there's this whole institutional story too. And a lot of the difficulties are institutional ones. They're things like this, the way the funding screens are set up, the things, you know, peer review is difficult with interdisciplinary papers, or you don't get promoted if you publish in interdisciplinary journals, this kind of stuff as well. So we don't talk about that, but that's all there too. And one thing that maybe a faculty that's organized like this does is it helps avoid some of those institutional problems. So there's a bit of an advantage there, yeah.
One point which needs to be mentioned here is that to apply the demarcation problem in defining the disciplines, I would say that we don't actually have specific defined disciplines. So they are dynamic, but
yeah.
Not like strict. So if we have a discussion between the sociologists and where do you draw the line between sociology and psychology or sociology and political science? So we wouldn't find one way of solving that problem.
Yeah.
So we have to keep this in mind when we're talking about interdisciplinarity, that we don't actually have disciplines which have strict lines in between them. Someone was talking about is that we need to have some sort of idea about what is the kind of entities different disciplines form, and to reassure the funders that now we are like collaborating with the disciplines which are far enough from ours. But
to count, yeah.
If we start defining or trying to define the lines between the disciplines, that's like quite desperate.
Yes.
Yeah. Historically, too. That's true. So if you look at the history of biology, a lot of innovations in biology came through interdisciplinarity, not necessarily through collaboration, though. That's the interesting stuff. So often in the biology case, it was people moving into biology from engineering, from mathematics, from physics. They come into biology and then they do the main innovations. And of course, they do collaborate with people around them, but it's not this classical framework that the funders have in mind. So we certainly believe that interdisciplinarity leads to innovation. I guess our critique is about the kinds of strategic framework that funders have in mind for trying to get that to happen. Yeah, but also your point about papers that are interdisciplinary papers, if the fields are close enough together, do very well. It just seems to be this trade-off when they get further away from each other. Yet people's intuitions are that you get real innovation if these fields get further from each other, right? So there's something going on there, which is, yeah, which is, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yes, that's true.
And also highly prestigious journals like Nature, Science, Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, they are kind of interdisciplinary journals. I guess they accept very high level discourses, and in order to go there, you have to be interdisciplinary. But that interesting thing is that disciplines like economics, they have their own traction. So they have their top five journals. In order to get jobs and funding and the Nobel Prize, you have to publish in those five journals. And those five journals don't include Nature and Science. So they have their own world. And then if you want to be a bit disruptive in this world, you can do some behavioral economics and stuff and try to publish in Nature. But then some of your colleagues think that, hey, actually, our journals are better than Nature because we do more rigorous science, while the suspicious psychological stuff gets published in because of the interdisciplinary referee processes.
Yeah.
So then you create this weird situation, like, you know, everyone is like worshipping Nature and Science, and then you talk to some top economists and, yeah, I don't believe in it. So that's exactly a manifestation of even interdisciplinary differences between what is regarded as rigorous.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. So, anyways, that's
just another question.
Concrete.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, please.
Thanks for the presentation. Going back to the beginning, I was wondering, could you also think the multidisciplinarity as a kind of a necessary step on a way to interdisciplinarity, or do you kind of learning of other perspectives and so on, or do you see them like more like in different directions?
It certainly could be, yeah. A step. I mean, part of what we would say is that interdisciplinary relationships generally take time to develop, to work well. I mean, again, another problem with the project funding scheme is when it's really just a group of people getting together who haven't worked with each other but think they, you know, or, you know, haven't worked tightly with each other before, come together for 3 to 6 years, and inevitably they just go apart at the end. So there needs to be more of this kind of long-term sustained. And if you're all on a faculty, of course, you have some control to get those relationships to develop over a longer term. That's an interesting, yeah, control.
And I find this teaching and the supervision as a very good instrument for starting interdisciplinary collaboration. Yeah. It's very low stake, low cost, but it has a kind of institutional support. So you can start to supervise the same student, and maybe you can be a co-author, and then you might want to write something together. So this way, you start from that type of understanding. Okay, so that's the perspective of this. So you kind of avoid scientific bubbles, and that's kind of major benefit for myself. So I was in philosophy, and then I was transplanted into Sustainability Science Institute, and then interacted a lot with non-philosophers, and then you start to relativize your positions, and then you have to understand what's your discipline strengths, stuff like that. So that's multidisciplinary starting might lead to something more substantial. So it's a happy story according to that.
Okay, thank you for this.
Thanks. Thank you for your patience.
Me and Mika will now present something new for you guys.
Also. Yeah, thanks. Yes, you can. I turned it. Oh, I did.
No.
Oh, it wasn't on.
I don't think yours was on it.
It was not on?
It was.
Maybe it was recording.
Okay. So our original plan was to have the slides in English and talk in Finnish. So we didn't have time to translate the slides in English. So we will have the slides in Finnish and we will speak in English. But I think it's okay for you guys. Yes. So Mikko is drawing something interesting over there, but I will give you a short introduction on in a way. We have entitled this in a way that from multidisciplinary work into interdisciplinary work in research and education in our faculty since 2016 onwards to nowadays. Overall, the basic idea was around the 2016 to we are giving in this presentation the overall picture on what kind of thinking and what kind of networks the groups have been working around this issue. And it all started up with this kind of a multidisciplinary network within the faculty back in the 2016. And thereafter, as you heard, that we have reconstructed our organizational structure at the faculty, coming out from the department structure to only having a faculty. And we reconstructed something in between, because, you know, when we had the faculty and the board and the dean and then the disciplines and the departments, you know, disappeared from in between, something needed to be organized there. And people wanted to have these kind of mid-size discussions as well. So we came up with these thematic groups that we have four at the moment. And that's in a way the current structural system that we have at the faculty. So back in 2016, then maybe I need to say this as well, that at the same time at the faculty, we have faced this kind of, let's say, generation change within our professorships. Because almost all of our past generation professors have retired within 5 years or so. So we have more than 20 out of 24 professorships, which are now held by new people, mostly in an associate professorship. But at that time, 2016, the old generation was in charge at the moment. And that, in a way, shed light or gave motivation for, at that time, this kind of, let's say, mid-research career people to group in together. And this kind of informal network became evident. And it happened at the same time around when the department structure was taken away. So we had at that time about 50 university or postdoctoral researchers, senior researchers, lecturers, university teachers in the mid-career in a way, who formed this network, which we have called in Finnish LIMOVE, Liikunnan monitieteinen verkosto. And the purpose of it was overall that we wanted to also understand and know that what do the others do? What's done within this faculty overall, not just in our own field, but between all the research that is done in this faculty. Also, the enhancement of collaboration between the different areas of scientific fields was something that was aimed for, and also to then understand and find and detect the mutual aims, both in research and in education. And then also this maybe notion what Elena was pointing out over there, that, you know, that the funders and these kind of scientific breakthroughs, really the next step in scientific way needs interdisciplinary work, and we were lacking of that at that time. To get funding, new funding applications, and so on and so forth. So in a way, we took Ascent this kind of a phenomena type of a starting point or focus, that we have some. What is the key phenomena for this faculty in research and in education overall, or a few of the phenomenons that we could detect as mutual aims for physical activity, sport, health, and well-being in research and in education. That was the focus point. And like I said, that I won't say that now because I will say it a bit later. Maybe I'll take this all. So the first round, in a way, I might say that, you know, this kind of meetings that we had, we started up with fewer people, and then I would say more and more people came along. And what you mean, because we would have a monthly meeting at the beginning, or maybe every 2 months or something like that. Informal network, people gathering together, starting discussing on these kind of interesting areas. And indeed, in a way, the full picture became clear for us, that we got understanding from other fields as well, the faculty level understanding. And also, of course, at the same time, the multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary, conceptualization was in discussions. We had this one book, In Between Sciences, or whatever would be the, you know, direct translation to English, the Finnish one, Tieteiden välissä, that we used as a first step for us to understand that, okay, what multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary would mean, what are the differences, and so on. But also that the understanding that this kind of a collaboration is absolute. It's needed in the future, and the problems that we have in the society will not be reached by single discipline solutions. They are so complex that we need collaboration. We need different interdisciplinary actions to reach solutions for those. And also then, of course, we understood that, okay, we are now facing in the faculty a new structure with our departments, and we have a new generation coming after. What kind of resource is it? It's a resource question to some degree, of course, that we need resources, human resources, time resources, that what can be invested in this. And what was aimed already at that time would be that we would have this kind of research program around the interdisciplinary research in our field. But we weren't managed to get that. The current management of the faculty told us that, you know, do make a project out of it. No program, but make a project out of it.
Were you asking for
that? No, at that time. In a way, acknowledgement of that. If it would have been taken seriously and considered, of course it would have needed someone to maybe lead it. So this kind of human resource maybe. But it could have maybe done by appointing to some of the becoming associate professors to include in their task. But, you know, but no, we were not asking €1 million investment in this. No, we represented the idea.
Actually, the concrete proposal was that the persons participating in this cooperation would have the right to put 50 hours per year in their work plan to reserve for this kind of cooperation by... That was too much.
Quite modest. That was too much. Yeah. It was not allowed. Yeah. Eli työsuunnitelmia 50 tuntia oli ehdotus siellä. Ei mennyt läpi. Okay. So, at the second phase, in a way, in this development trend, I think that we went further with that phenomena recognition and in a way, understood exactly this, that the insufficient physical activity at the population level is one of the key societal problems in this area, that maybe is even expected that the faculty will do something for it. And it was an mutual aim. So we wanted to make some preliminary action or test that how can we work together. And quite quickly there was this kind of an Finnish Academy, Terva, open call, which was a high-risk open call. Didn't have strict, you know, guidance on what. It was high-risk, high-gain type of, and that, you know, do a proposal, whatever, quite big money, and so on. And we felt that, okay, so let's And we went for it, and Popama research application was focused exactly on a comprehensive multi-level population level intervention on insufficient physical activity. If I remember correctly, it was Kuokkala area in here at
Jyväskylä.
Huhtasuo. Okay, Huhtasuo. So, but one part of the city, that the whole population would be in focus, and we would have done there something. But we weren't managed because there were cancer researchers and whatever who had maybe even more, you know, higher risks and higher rewards for the society than we did. So the feedback was like one sentence. That thank you for your applications, but you know, you weren't, you know, high enough or whatever, novel enough or whatever that was. I don't really remember. But then this was happening in the research, and at that same time we also started to develop these three mutual courses for the new curricula, because the curricula work was ongoing at that time. And actually, the Vice Dean for Education even made a suggestion at one point at that time that, you know, we don't need mature, you know, courses anymore in this faculty. And that was really an opposite that we had discussed in our network, that we were thinking that we need more. We need to strengthen this. We need, you know, every student that will graduate from here would need to have some kind of a mature understanding of this phenomena and the basics on this. And the Vice Dean was saying that, no, we don't need that at all. But we were able, in a way, I would say that this is, we are proud of on that we were strong and emphasized that, you know, we need this. And in that, we were able to compile these 3-5 credit courses. And to support that work, because it was a new type of way, because previously in the faculty, these mutual courses weren't mutual. It was a mutual study package, you know, physical education teacher training providing one course, biological sciences providing one course, health sciences one course, and whatever. So it was that kind of form. Now we wanted to create 3 courses that each of these, like I said, contributes to these ones. And so there is no background reading a book or anything like that. So that was the reading idea.
If I could just comment on applying the concepts used today. So formerly, it was kind of like a multidisciplinary module, and now we were trying to like create an interdisciplinary module out of them.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. But there weren't no, you know, background, you know, handbook reading. So that was some eager idea that, you know, we should write a handbook for this entity. But it was too eager at that time. You know, we haven't found time yet still on doing that, but maybe in the future.
I could still comment one, or make one comment on that we have had in our faculty two similar kinds of books earlier. So I would say that the generation in the leading professions or in leading professors actually have written a book which tried to cover and kind of like integrate the different disciplines into one book and create kind of like a overarching framework for sport and health education. They were called The Social Rationale of Sports 1 and The Rationale of Sport Social Rationale of Sports 2. And now it was kind of like the third part. Now we had a new framework for it. So it was like, now we kind of like intentionally tried to apply this kind of interdisciplinary framework while designing this book.
Yeah. And the books are called in Finnish Liikunnan yhteiskunnallinen perustelu 1 ja 2. You may have heard about these books. This is the the framework for the interdisciplinary research proposal, the Popama proposal. So socio-ecological model and different levels of individual intrapersonal factors affecting on the physical activity, behavior, lifestyle related factors, community and networks and other kinds of support, and then social and economic activity. So starting, you know, covering basically from policy to gene level and everything between those. So we understood, I would say, quite nicely on that you know, if we want to get populations move, there are different populations groups, all individuals have differences on all of these levels in a way. So if we want, you know, obstacles can be found for some from that level, from some on this level, and we need to do multiple actions on multiple levels. So this was the idea behind the action, but I don't go into details on that. So we are coming closer to the today. So the departments were teared down in the beginning of 2017, and the thematic group work started then in autumn 2020. So it's rather new, and it's a new idea, and we are developing it all the time. So it's not anymore as it was when it started in a way. But overall, the group that I have been leading and Mikko and many in here have been involved has been focusing or taken as one of the key matters to be discussed in our thematic group, the interdisciplinary work, especially in research, but also in education. And now this day, today, is the, in a way the attempt also to then widen it for the whole faculty. And see how can we work further, and what kind of processes are needed in order, how to organize the work now onwards. And the first thing that I think that was recognized around the same time when the thematic groups started. And the departments were teared down was that, you know, that in order to enhance collaboration with the faculty, we also need to better know on general level that what kind of research the others also do. And this is where we started this kind of an presentation days of research, which we have had several in the past year. So 3 times in a year, 5-6 researchers by invitation have been, you know, presenting what kind of research they are doing, not results. The emphasis has been on that present that what kind of research you do. You may, of course, present your, you know, development path, but try to find, you know, that what kind of spots there are to enhance and increase collaboration with the others. So already the presentation idea has been to find new collaboration spots between different research groups. And we are continuing it now within 2 weeks. There is the next day for this. And today the aim is to support then also, of course, the collaboration in this area further. And if we think about research, the already mentioned in a way the idea of having an interdisciplinary research program in this faculty could be in a way the aim. Whatever that could mean and would mean, but somehow that we are, you know, working onwards with having maybe resources, like Mikko mentioned, that, you know, some time resource can be, you know, officially appointed to this kind of work. There should be maybe some leader leading on this, or there might be leaders in different areas. If we don't find just one research topic, but maybe we find 3 different areas, you know, not whole faculty in one, but maybe these people will find collaboration in this area, these in this and these in that. So, but something new, something on top of what we are doing at the moment. And then also for these mutual study courses that we previously had five credit courses, we now have 2 more. So we basically have 25 credits on those. How do we organize it? How do we develop it further? How do we get that from multidisciplinary closer to maybe interdisciplinary way to teach those? So, Mikko. You have had some.
Just like, but add one like sociological spice to the inspiring presentation of Miles and Mitch's, that when philosophers are are talking about this, and they have the specific framework. And when the sociologists take the stage, then we need to use the sociological concepts. But only the thing I would like to add there is that now I wrote four levels of integration, a description of four levels of integration into the board. And I would say that what we've done so far in the faculty, or what Limov was trying to do, was that we tried to kind of like integrate the ontological ideas we have in these different disciplines and our epistemological, so that means methodological approaches together, and try to find out what are the phenomena, how we see the world, what is important there, what kind of theory formation is relevant for instance, addressing low level of physical activity of the population is relevant, and so on. And we had discussions, really difficult one and challenging ones, trying to like create what kind of theory formation could serve as a like starting point for interdisciplinary cooperation. Then when we're talking about methodological integration as well, what kind of common mutual data sets we have provided so far, and which we could apply while doing cooperation and so forth. But then what we haven't talked today too much is this how this actually is carried out in real life, this integration. And that's what needs is these kind of like institutional procedures and social and cultural procedures as well. And I would say that the rector, not the previous rector, but the one before him, was Matti Manninen, who decided that we need to show to the Ministry of Education that we are capable of doing like difficult decisions and showing like the dynamicity while changing the practices of university. And he decided that we will demolish the departments from the Faculty of Sport and Health Sciences, and then this IT, Faculty of Technology and
Information
Technology, of course. And yeah, so that was kind of like institutional solution for like creating an environment for like interdisciplinary cooperation, but nothing more was done. So we were just like the department structure was demolished, and we were left there. And good luck with the cooperation. Try to find the way, best possible way. But here we tried to, and in Limo we tried to see this as an opportunity of now when we don't have the walls anymore. Now it's more easy to or easier to be. Or participate in this kind of like boundary crossing discussions. Yeah, there was after these departments came this kind of like replacement of departments, which were called the Atenala. We had this kind of the Atenala groups. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. We don't have the Atenala anymore.
No, we dropped them as well. And now we have these thematic groups. So we could in like demolishing structures and creating one and then leaving it behind quite fast. Let's hope it's not the history won't repeat itself again. But yeah, but what is really needed here and where the practical problems appear is that we have different cultural cultures between disciplines. Different cultures of doing science and different cultures of appreciating what is important in doing science. And this is like one thing which is forming like true obstacle of doing interdisciplinary cooperation, because in the other end of the faculty, they are emphasizing the like the development of a discipline and concentrating on like deepening the understanding within that Like actually, I think that's the mutual aim. We all think the same way. We need to be better biologists. We need to be better sociologists and so on. And the way you do that is by cooperating with other sociologists and other biologists, not with crossing boundaries and so on. So that's driving us to other directions and teaching us to, and actually the career model within universities is kind of like directing us to like educate ourselves to be better sociologists and so on. But then as a consequence of that is that when this is chosen to be the leading star of our individual choices, it leads to the cultural distanciation of the disciplines. And that's something we really need to tackle. We really need to accept the different ways of doing and realize that there are different ways of different cultures within science. We're not following the same scheme. How do you pronounce this? Same norms in different disciplines, but we have a specific normative ways of normative ideas of good science, and this is something we haven't so far managed to solve. In a way, this Limova was a good project and test. So the group who ended up staying in the group really understood the value of this kind of open associative discussions, and we understood that together we are more. But the problem was that the longer it lasted, the fewer the people were participating in there. So the real problem was that in order to build this kind of mutual culture of operations, it takes time, and it needs to be intensive enough to kind of let this integration happen. And it doesn't happen if we only have 2 hours then and 1 hour then. And we need to have more time. And that's the proposition was that we need the structure for this kind of cooperation. We need people committing to this kind of development work who are allowed to allocate hours. The first proposal was 50 hours, so not much. But we tried to reassure the deans that, first of all, we need the resources and then we need the structures. We need the program and we need these mutual education modules, kind of like that builds the structure where we are forced to cooperate and we're forced to meet each other and have these ongoing discussions. So far, we haven't been successful. But I think this is the thing we are trying to, or the aim we are going towards during these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I may only add one more thing in that at the same time, when it, in a way, it takes time to develop and in a way the meeting intensity needs to be, sure enough. At the same time, we need to also go into concrete quite quickly. Mm. A proposal of application or whatever, that it becomes live and concrete and something gets out of it. Otherwise, people will get bored and tired of that. But I will now turn off the recording.